Okay, so what I wanted to learn with you tonight is basically one little line from the Haggadah, but a question that is something that bothers me because, you know, I think if you ask yourself and you ask almost everybody, is Terach a significant character? I think most people would say, absolutely not. Avram is a significant character. Avram is chosen. Terach's his dad. He's not really very significant at all. And that's why it's very surprising when we start off the Haggadah in source number one, and we're giving a history lesson and we're going back in time. It's very interesting that we start from the very beginning. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu. In the very beginning, we used to worship avodah zarah, and now, of course, we don't anymore. And where do we go back to? Me'olam Terach Avi. Avram Avinachor. We go back and we start at the beginning, but we don't start at Abraham. We start at his father, Terach. And we not only name Abraham, we name also Abraham's brother, Nachor. And we say, Vayabdu Elohim Achirim, they worshipped all these other gods, and then continuing on the story with Abraham. And I wanted to know, why are we starting the story of the Haggadah with Terach? Why is Terach being mentioned? And you might say, it's such a simple mentioning. It's not really such a big deal. It's just to tell us that Abraham got away from his father, got away from Avodah Zarah, not such a big deal. But I'll tell you why I thought my question was a much bigger deal than that of just the Haggadah, because if I go to the story of Terach and Sefer Bereishit at the very end of Parshas Noach, here in source number two, I start to see that Terach is given a tremendous amount of significance that I wouldn't assume he should be given. If you look at source two with me, you see that there's a pattern, and I gave you only two examples of it. I skipped the whole middle of the parrot, but you could believe me that the pattern just happens over and over again with each generation. But as we're going through Perek Yud Aleph is representing the story of going from shame all the way down to Abraham. And in each generation, there is only very small amount of information that's given per generation. We hear the name of one person. So we start off here, shame. We hear how old he is when he has his first child, or I should say the chosen child in the link of the chain. We then find out after he has that child, how many more years he lives for. And then the final phrase, Vayolid Banim Ubanot. This is in Pasuk Yud. We have this happening again and again and again, until we get to Nahor. Now, don't get confused. There's two Nahors. This is the grandfather of Abraham. So this is the generation before Terach. And here we have the same pattern, Pasuk Chavdalet. How long did Nahor live before he gave birth to the chosen child, the one that's the next link in the chain? We then find out how many years he lived after he gave birth to Terach. And then, of course, the phrase, Vayolid Banim Ubanot, right? That's our pattern. When we finally get to Terach, however, the pattern is shattered. The pattern is completely broken. Something changes when Terach is born. If you look starting in Pasuk Chav Vav, we find out, starts normal, how old Terach is when he has his children, but then all of a sudden it's different. It's not one child, it's three children, Avram, Nahor, and Haran. We then have the weird phrase, Ela told us Terach, which I'll come back to in a minute, and then we have a repeat. Terach Olid, it's Avram, Ves, Nahor, it's Haran. We just heard that, and here it is again. Not only that, we find out about a grandson. We normally do one generation at a time. But here, Haran, Olid, it's Lot, right? So Haran has a child by the name of Lot. And now we have a whole story. And again, in Perek Yud Aleph, this is unheard of. Haran dies when his father's still alive. Avraham and Nahor get married. We now have names of daughter-in-laws, right? He gets married. Avraham gets married to Sarai. Nahor gets married to Milcah. And then there's like a footnote. By the way, you should know Milcah is really the daughter of Haran. And he has another daughter by the name of Yiscah. So now we have not just three sons that are mentioned, which is strange. We have two wives that are mentioned. And we have three grandchildren that are mentioned. We have the mentioning of Lot, Milcah, and Yiscah. Not only does it stop, doesn't stop there, it keeps breaking the pattern. Pasuk Lamed, we hear that Sarai can't have children. Okay, strange fact to give in. And then we have a story starting from Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Terach takes Avram and Lot and Sarai, and they travel from Ur Kasdim to go to Canaan, and then they get to Haran and they remain there. And then finally we get to the age of Terach, and then Terach dies. We don't hear about the death of anyone else. It's obviously implied that they died at some point because we hear how old they are when they die, but we don't hear about their death. And it's very unusual to hear about the death of someone that's not significant. This whole thing is breaking up the pattern of Parakeet Aleph. So I start with the Haggadah. Why do I care about Terach? But then when I get to Bereishis Yud Aleph, I'm like, what is going on? Why is Terach shattering my pattern? Why do we seem to care about so many neat details, not just about Terach, but about all three of his sons, Avram, Nahor, and Haran? And then all of a sudden, I realized that it fits a different pattern of Sefer Bereishis. And I gave it to you here on your source sheet. We have a pattern of a father with three sons, a father with three sons, a father with three sons. We have Adam, Cain, Hevel, and Shait. We then have 10 generations later, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Yafet. And then, of course, now we seem to have a fitting that pattern, Terach with three sons, Avram, Nahor, and Haran. And if I look at this pattern even more, it fits so beautifully. In all three of these sets of three, I seem to have the most righteous of the three sons. I have Shait, I have Shem, I have Abraham. I have a kind of neutral son going on, Hevel, Yafet, Nahor. And then I have a more negative son, Cain, Ham, and Haran, who I assume is negative, which is why he dies. I also see that when it comes to the chosen son, there seems to be a connection. If you look here at source number three, there's 10 generations that takes me from one chosen son to the next. So Adam's chosen son is Shait. 10 generations later, I gave you all the names here, we get to Shem. And then Shem is, of course, the chosen son of Noah. 10 generations later, I get to the chosen son of Terach, which is, of course, Abraham. And therefore, I could look at this pattern and say, you know what? It's not that Terach is significant, but Terach is really what leads us to these three sons, that one of them is chosen, a story we've had in the past. And Avram is the one that is the chosen one. It's really just taking us to emphasize Avram. And with something that's interesting about introducing us to Avram, if that's what the goal is, if you look at source number four, when we start to hear the story of Avraham, the pasuk tells us Avram is ben chamesha nim v'shivim shana, 75 years old. I don't really know very much about Avraham until he's 75. If he's so chosen, I don't hear very much about him. I do not know why he is chosen. So I do know that Chazal fills in the blank for me. I gave you one line of this humongous midrash that we've all heard and been learning since we were children. Terach, of course, worshipped Avodah Zarah. He had an idol store, and Avraham came and destroyed all of the idols. And the question you, of course, have to ask is, where did Chazal get this story from? I think Chazal got this story from two other places in Tanakh. If you look at source number five, in Sefer Shoftim, there's a story of Gidon, who's one of our judges, and he has what I would call an initiation test. Before he gets to be one of our judges, God gives him a job that he has to do to prove that he's good enough for the job. And what is that job that he has to do here in source number five? Kachat par hashor asher la'avicha. Go destroy the idols of your father. And goes Gidon in the middle of the night and destroys his father's idols. It's the same type of story where Chazal is saying, see, we have an initiation test. Why does Gidon deserve to lead? Oh, we're going to instill that type of idea on Avram Avinu as well. What about the rest of the story? He gets taken to Nimrod and thrown into the fire. Well, obviously that's taken from the story in Daniel, which I gave you again, just one line, and I translate it because it's not in Hebrew, where we have, of course, the story of Daniel's friends who are the ones who jump or are thrown, I really should say, Hanano, Mishael, and Azariah, who are thrown into the fire because they refuse to bow down to the Avodah Zarah, and of course they survive in the fire. It's the same story that's being attributed to Avraham to basically say to us, what is it we know about Avraham? Why is Avraham chosen? Because he believes in God against all costs, against all odds, against the influence of everyone around him, and God therefore goes against nature to save him, to show him that he is the chosen person. If that's the goal of the story, is to just get us to Avraham, what we're trying to therefore say is, why do I care about Terach? Why do I care about Nahor? Why do I care about Haran? Because I'm trying to say that here is Avraham, who against the odds of his environment is chosen, and they are rejected. And therefore, I have to learn from the fact that they get rejected, just like I know about Shem, and I learn about Yafet and Ham, because they are the rejected sons. I learn about Cain, I learn about Hevel, and Shait is the one who's the accepted son, the one who becomes the line down to take us to Avram Avinu, right? To take us to Noah, to take us to Avraham. So therefore, it's to teach me about who is rejected and why. And if that's the purpose, then let's rejected people in the story, and what am I meant to learn? So if I look at the first reject of the story, the first person to go would be Haran. We find out in the Pasuk, and that's of course one of the brothers of Abraham, source number 6, Vayamar Haran al pnei Terach aviv beretz maladeto. Haran dies very, very young. Now we don't know the story, the Pasuk doesn't explain to us why he dies, but there certainly is some sort of assumption that it's unusual and strange, especially in those days, for someone to die so young. The only other person we hear dying this young or dying younger than the rest is Chanoch, who the Pasuk says is taken by God. So here the assumption is either it's just random and strange, or he did something wrong, which made him deserve this type of death. We have this idea very often in Tanakh, you know, when Nadav and Avihu are killed, or Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilion are killed, or Aaron, Onan, the children of Yehuda are killed. There's normally an assumption they did something wrong to deserve death. If we look at the Midrash, which I gave you here in source 6, quoted in Rashi, it continues the story of the Avram story of the idols, right? Avram is destroys all the idols and he gets taken to Nimrod and he survives the fire. And Rashi says, you know what? Haran was kind of standing by and said, you know what? I'll see who wins in this discussion. And when all of a sudden he saw, and where I bolded source 6, Kishenitzal Avram, when he saw Avram was winning, Avram walked out of the fire. Amrula Haran Mishal Miata, Haran picks sides. Whose side are you on? And he really didn't have a side, but he picked the winner, because that's what you do. You pick the winner. Amarlan Haran Mishal Avram Ani, I'm on Avram's side. Hishtachula Kifshan Ha'esh V'Nisraf. They threw him into the fire and he was burnt. So what do we see coming out of this Midrash? Avram's the righteous who really has the right intentions and his brothers don't. And therefore, for some reason, whether he dies in the fire of Nimrod or he dies in general, there's something negative being attached to Haran in the fact that he has been killed. He's our first reject. Our second reject would be Nahor. Where do we see Nahor being rejected? Well, if you go to source 7, which is a pasuk I already read to you, when Terach goes down to Haran, leaves Ur Kasdim on this journey to Haran, he takes Avram, he takes Lot, and he takes Sarai. Who does he clearly leave behind? Nahor and Milcah and their entire family. They get left behind. Well, what's the only clue I have as to why they get left behind? Because it doesn't say anything about them in the Psukim. Well, I go to where it does say something about them in the Psukim, but it's not in Breishi. It's actually now, if you notice from the Haggadah, the pasuk I was quoting you in the Haggadah itself was quoting this pasuk from Sefer Yehoshua. And in Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua also gives a history lesson for some reason and starts from Terach. He does the same thing, which is obviously, again, why we do it in the Haggadah, because we're quoting the pasukim. And there it gives us an understanding that we need to know something. We'll come back to Terach, but also about Nahor. Me'olam Terach avi Avram avi Nahor, vayavdu Elohim acherim. Ah, Nahor was an idol worshiper. That's why he gets rejected, because he did not believe in God the way Abraham did. If you go on in the Pesukim, I gave you a few more. You see how then the Pesukim say, okay, so God picked Abraham, and then Abraham got Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak got Yaakov and Esav, and Esav was rejected, and Yaakov is accepted. If you look at the Malbim in source number 8, the Malbim on these Pesukim in Yoshua, which again is the source of the Haggadah, what we read in the Haggadah, the Malbim asks the same question on the Pesukim Yoshua and says, Maritza b'psichazo, hello, Yoshua, what are you giving us, a history lesson? What's going on, Yoshua? What do we care, Terach? I mean, what are you doing? And he gives the following answer. Me Adam ad Avram, hayaha skula va'inan eluki rak b'yachidim. In the very beginning, when God was trying to create this chosen nation, he started with individuals. He started with an individual person who was worthy, meaning someone like Abraham. But from the time that God picked this righteous Abraham, he really wanted to be able to create the masses. He wanted to have a much larger group. So what did he do? As time went on, the group got bigger and bigger. Shema Shvatim. We then got the 12 Shvatim. Bachareim Shivim Nefesh. And then after that, the Shvatim, the families, and that turned into the 70 souls that went down to Mitzrayim. Bachareim Uma Shlema. And after that, we became the Jewish people, an entire nation that came out of Mitzrayim. So what did God have to do to get us from an individual to a nation? We had to go through generations and children that were put through tests so that we could literally get rid of the shells. We could get rid of the negative. And therefore, that's the story. Terach was the father of Avram, but also Nahor. It's to tell us that Avram Avram was living amongst thorns. He had all these negative influences. Bemitzido, Menachor, on one side, his brother Nahor. Bemirosho, Meitarach, right? His father as his head, right? All these terrible influences because they worshipped other gods, and Avram had to remove himself from them. And therefore, the Mabin, in line with this first idea, that the reason we hear about them is really to express how amazing Avram is, that even though his brother was evil, his other brother was evil, his father was evil, Avram was able to remove all those influences and become who Avraham is. And therefore, in this picture, the final reject of the story would therefore be Terach himself. And you see it in the Pasuk, source number 9, when God says to Avram, Lech Lecha, he says, go from your land, from your birthplace, mi beit avicha. Now, leave your father's home to go to the land that I will show you, seeming to imply he has to leave his father behind. Now, you might say to me, no, we all know Terach dies at the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Bet is Lech Lecha. Dead. He doesn't leave his father behind. But that's clearly not true if you look up the years. As we all know, at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, right, it tells us the age of Terach at different stages. It first tells us that Terach is 70 years old when he gives birth to his children. And then it tells us in Perek and Pasuk Lamed Bet that he's 205 when he dies. Okay, well, Avram does Lech Lecha at 75. We just mentioned that pasuk a few minutes ago. So that would make Terach, who's 70 years older than Avraham, 145 when Avraham goes and does his Lech Lecha. And if Terach lives until 205, that means he's alive for around 60 more years after Avram makes his Lech Lecha. Clearly, Avram is leaving Terach behind. So why does he leave Terach behind? I go back to my psukim in Sefer Yehoshua, where Mesudas David points out for me, you know, when Yehoshua said, Nahor did avodah zarah, look at the language, it was in plural. Who's it implying? Shnehem, ha'av vin Nahor b'no, avdu avodah zelilim. It was both Nahor and Terach who served avodah zarah, fitting beautifully to our midrash that Terach owned an idol store. And therefore, first perspective, Terach is mentioned in our Haggadah. Terach and Nahor are mentioned because they are the negative influences on Avraham, and we're giving praise to Avraham from being able to move away from these terrible influences. Question. I think there's a very different way to look at the story. And the question really comes from the words that I skipped within the psukim. And I said I was coming back. If you look at source number 11, there's another pattern that you see in Sefer Bereishit, and that's the words Ela Toldot. These are the generations. This seems to really highlight every time we have an Ela Toldot, the next step. We're in the next step of what's significant within the story. We start off with creation of the world, Ela Toldot Shemai Va'aret. And then, of course, we have the creation, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim et Ha'adam. Hashem creates mankind, meaning Adam HaRishon. Then we have Zeh Sefer Toldot Ha'adam, using the same language of Toldot. And at the end of this, we have the Sheit is born, taking us to our next big step. After that, we have, of course, Ela Toldos Noach. Our next big person is Noach. And then, of course, Ela Toldos Shem, Shem being our next chosen step. And then what's strange is, we have Ela Toldos Terach. And you can look as much as you want, but there is no Ela Toldos Avraham. It just doesn't exist. So I stopped to ask, wait a minute, if Terach is really this insignificant detail, he's really just there so we could see how amazing Avraham is, then why do we have an Ela Toldos Terach? It should have been an Ela Toldos Avraham. Who's being chosen in this story? Is it Terach or is it Avraham? And then I look again at the pattern I mentioned before, and I realize that if I count it differently, Terach emerges much more important. If I start the count of 10 generations at Adam, which is really where it begins, Adam being a very important character, 10 generations later takes me to Noach. Noach, Ish Sadiq, a very important character, the only one who is allowed to survive in the flood with his family, but he's the chosen man. So then I go from Noah down 10 generations and I hit Terach. I don't hit Avraham. I hit Terach. Terach being someone who seems to be extremely significant. And again, I remind you the pattern. Adam has 3 sons. Noah has 3 sons. Terach has 3 sons. So if Adam and Noah are chosen and significant, then Terach would seem to also be significant. And just like we see Noah's sons all become great nations, not just Shem, so too is true about Terach's sons. If you look at source number 12 with me, Haran, though he dies young, and Lot has 2 great nations that come out of him, Ammon and Moab are both born from Lot. Nahor also has great nations that come from him. He's Avi. being a tremendous nation. And of course, Abraham has Avhamon Gayim. It's not just the Jewish people that come out of Abraham. He has Ishmael. He has all the children of Keturah, which includes Madan and Midian, many nations that come out of Abraham. And therefore, it would seem that the children of Terach are all chosen and all get to have tremendously huge nations that come out of them. It's not just Abraham. And then I look further to support myself through the eyes of Chazal. And you actually find that Chazal is very positive towards Terach. Yes, we have one view in Chazal. He's an idol worshiper, which doesn't have to contradict. It could be he was and then gave it up after the story of Abraham. But we certainly have a positive look at Terach in well. If you look back here at source 13, I gave you the same pasuk again, but to emphasize, in the pasuk it says, Ela todos Terach, Terach holidit Abraham. Anyone who has their name written twice in a row in the pasuk are obviously very significant. If you look at the list in the Medrash Tehillim of who has their name twice in the text, I would wish to be on this list. I think Terach is really quite happy to be on such a list. Adam HaRishon, Sheit, Chanoch, Noach, Shem, Terach, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Shmuel, David, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu. That's a really awesome list. Being on that list would obviously make him someone of extreme significance. Not only that, the Medrash continues. Shekol mi shenikapel shmo, anyone who has their name doubled in the text, nolad mahul, is born with a bris milah, right? Professor Schachter just talked about bris milah and how significant it is. Born with a bris milah, right? We all learned that Midrash about Moshe to say this about Terach, and then goes on to say, shame, shame, noach, noach, Terach, Terach, all the people born with a bris milah. Not only that, the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah also bringing down that his name is doubled, says, what does that come to teach me? V'chtiv terach terach, im kein yesh lo chelak ba'olam hazeh, ula olam haba. It's to tell me not only is he worthy of this world, but he's worthy of olam haba. He's worthy of the next world. So clearly there are two perspectives to looking at Terach. One is he's an insignificant character. He's an idol worshiper. He's a negative character. He's rejected. We only care about him because he leads us to Abraham and therefore he gets mentioned. Or I have a second perspective. He's actually chosen. There's something very special about Terach. His entire family is chosen. They all have significance within the text. They all become great nation. Of course, within his family, Avram is selected as the chosen one. Just like within the family of Noah, Shem is selected. Within the family of Adam, Sheit is selected. But Terach himself is selected. Himself is significant. I would like to show you further proof to this theory, because I do find it interesting that there is a theme throughout Sefer Bereishit that we want to make sure everybody that's going to be considered an aim of Am Yisrael is somehow connected to the family of Terach. When Eved Avraham in source 14, the servant of Avraham is sent to go find a wife for Yitzchak, Avraham is very clear where he needs to go. Go find her from my brother's house. It has to be a relative, meaning has to be a child of Terach. He says, Keler tziva maladiti telek, go back to where I was brought up. And the Eved goes straight to Ir Nahor. He goes straight. He knows exactly where Avraham wants him to go. He wants him to go find his relatives. That the Eved to Betuel and to Laban when he's speaking. I was told by Avraham to go to Beit Avi, the El Mishpachti, go to my family. And you see the stress of it when we're discussing Rivka. Over and over, we need to know this. Why is she chosen? Yildah leBetuel. And why is that so important that she's the daughter of Betuel? Because Betuel is Ben Milcah ve'eshet Nahor. Remember, Milcah is the daughter of Haran, and Nahor is the other brother of Abraham. This child comes from both Haran and Nahor. He's a combination. She's a combination of the two brothers of Abraham, all in one coming. And again, it says it again when she introduces herself. We know this already, but she says it again. Bat Betuel Anochi, who am I? Ben Milcah Asher Yildah LeNahor, making sure that we know she's coming from both Haran and Nahor. And the story goes again when it comes to finding a wife for Yaakov. He's told by his father, go to Padam Aram. Why? Go specifically to the house of Betuel, which is your mother's brother. Make sure you go back to that family and make sure you take a wife, Mivnot Lavan. It has to be from the family of Avram. It has to be our relative. And again, what do they all have in common? They all come from the house of Terach. It was very important that all of our imahot come from Terach. That was something that was very significant. And anybody that gets rejected it. It's because they marry from outside the family. If you look at source 16, Lot marries Mibnot Sodom. He gets rejected. Yishmael marries Me'eres Mitzrayim. Gets rejected. Esav marries Achiti, a woman from Canaan. His parents get really unhappy. And therefore he realizes, so what does he do? He marries a daughter of Yishmael, marries within the family. He understands that that's what he is supposed to do. I find it really interesting that hard to make sure that Sarah also comes from the family of Terah, right? Sarah's the only outsider that we don't really know where she comes from. And I think that's one of the reasons why Chazal tries so hard to identify Sarah, because we want her as well to come from the house of Terah. And therefore, source 17, I read you before, when Avram and Nahor take wives, Sarai, and Nahor marries, it says, by the way, Milcah is the daughter of Haran, right? Haran is the father of Milcah and also the father of Yiska, right? And therefore, it's like weird language. Who's Yiska? Why have we never heard of her before? We're talking about Milcah. So very, very strange pasuk. Comes the Gemara and says, very famously, Yiska Zusara. Now, I understand because they understand she is Ruach HaKodesh or she's very beautiful. But what's the goal, I think, of this Gemara? To make her come from the family of Terach. Now she, as well, is the daughter of Haran, making her the niece of Avraham. Now, there's textual proof for this. Source 18, when they go down to Mitzrayim, Avram says to Paro, or says to all the Mitzrayim, Achotia, right? She's my sister. He does it again when they go down to Gror, Achotihi, she's my sister. And even when Avimelech says, why'd you lie to me? He insists that he didn't. Gamam na Achoti bata vihi achlo bati mi. No, she really is my sister. She's just not the daughter of my father. She's not the daughter of my mother, but she's the daughter of my father. Like, he has all these excuses. Says Rabbi Nachai, what was he trying to say? But he was trying to say is lo hayta bat aviv ela bat harat, not that she's my father's daughter, but that she's my brother's daughter. My brother Haran actually has a different mother than me. So he was giving the same story. She's my niece. But if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin source 19, it seems to imply lo bati mi mechal to bat ha'imos. Of course, it's not my mother's daughter, but it's my father's daughter, meaning Sarah was actually his sister. Meaning no matter what, we're trying to connect Sarah to somehow be coming from Terach, whether she's the daughter of Haran, whether she's the daughter of Terach. Says the Bechor Shor, I don't know which one she is, but here's what I know. Krovatihi mishpachti mebeit avi. She's my relative, and she came from my father's house. She is a descendant of Terach without 100%, and that is why lekach bati lisha. That's why I married her. I married her because she comes from my family. And therefore, we have this idea that everyone, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they both, all three had to marry someone specifically that came from Terach. And therefore, there has to be more to this story. Terach has to be someone who's deserving. Why is it we want to marry into this family? We want to make sure everybody comes from Terach. Now, you can argue with me and you can give a very simple answer. And you could say as follows, as I present to you here in source number 20. Maybe the difference and the reason why we're so stressing that all of our marriages come from within instead of without, because in that time, normally marriages were from without. Let me explain what I mean. Normally, when people were getting married, they wanted to make allies with other nations that were around them. And therefore, they would want to on purpose marry people from other families so that now they would have a relationship with that family for protection. You see that hinted to in source 20, which is the story of Shechem and Dina, right? When Shechem wants to marry Dina, he feels like he's giving over this great deal to us. Oh, it'll be great. You'll marry our daughters. We'll take your daughters. We'll be one nation. It'll be amazing. What's so amazing about it? Well, now when you need protection, we'll be there for you. And when we need protection, you'll be there for us. It's a great arrangement. But for us, it isn't, because we want to be Am Yisrael. We want to be insular. We don't want other nations joining us. So therefore, Daka, on purpose, we don't want to marry with another nations. And also, we don't need them to help us for protection because we have Hashem. And that's exactly what happens afterwards when we refuse Shechem. We actually murder Shechem. Why does no one attack us? Because God makes them all scared of us. We don't need to have allies with other nations. So it is possible we marry within, not because there's righteousness only coming from within, but because we're Dafka saying, God, we only need you. We don't need to make allies from without. But I'd like to go to the second answer. Our Haggadah mentions Terach. Perikadala Fabrici has a major focus on Terra. There's got to be something more about Terra, why everybody seems to have to come from Terra. Something significant must be true about Terra. I would like to give you three answers to this question, and I think that they all could be true. I'm not giving three separate answers, though I will present them that way, but I think it could be more than one be true about Terra, and therefore the reason why he is chosen. Again, not chosen as our first Av, but chosen in the link of the chain, so we stop and we say the family of Terach is chosen. And now from Terach, Avram gets chosen from there. Why Terach though? Why is that true? And that's exactly how it's presented in the Tanakh. Ela told us Terach. Okay, and now from Ela told us Terach, we get rid of Nahor, we get rid of Haran, and we focus on Avram. But we mention Nahor and we mention Haran, they get their names mentioned in the text, unlike the other people, Vayolad Banim Ubanot. We don't even know what their names are. So what is it about Terach? So I'd like to present a few possible answers. The first thing I'd like to do is source 21, go back to the Pesukim. What is something we know about Terach that might make it that we feel Terach is pretty significant? And you find something very interesting. Hidden at the end of Perech Yud Aleph is a story. And we looked at it already. Vatikach Terach et Avram beno et Lod and Sarai, and they go vayitzu meor kastim lalachet arta kenan vayivoar haran vayishvu shan. There's a story. Terach goes, he takes Avram, he takes Lot, and there's a focus again in the Pesukim of how he's related to each and every one. The repetition of this is really interesting, and we'll come back to that. And they go from Ur Kasdim to, with a plan, to go to Canaan. That was their plan. They wanted to go to Canaan. For some reason, they end up in Haran, and they live there. Now, this Pasuk directly parallels the Pesukim that we focus on so much in Parshas Lech Lecha in Bereishis Yud Bet. Look how parallel. Vayikach Avraham, just like Vayikach is Terach, at Sarai and Lo, same two people that Terach took. And what do they do? And all the people that they got in Haran, whatever that means. Vayitzu, same language, Lalachad Arta Canaan, to go to the land of Canaan. But they, Vayivau Arta Canaan, they actually get there. So here we have a story of the beginning of the journey to Eretz Canaan, the starting of that journey, which is inspired by Terach. Terach started the journey. He began the mission. Avram completes the mission and therefore is the chosen one. But at least Terach began the mission and therefore should get credit for doing so. If you look at the Medrash Eliarabba discussing Terach, he went to Beit Semisham L'Shem Shemayim. He had great intentions when he went. He really did. Fascinating Chizkuni, who says as follows. Why was he going to Canaan? Why was that the destiny for Terach? L'lachat Arza Canaan, ki hayam mizaro shel Shem. Terach knew he came from Shem. Ulahem natznah haaretz l'morashah. Because when Canaan was cursed, he would serve Shem. And therefore, what did that mean? That meant that in the future, we would inherit the lands of Canaan. So says Terach, I'm doing our destiny. I'm going to the lands of Canaan because one day we're going to inherit this land. This is also hinted to in the Ramban in Source 22. Remez kuhuyin chalartzo v'kolar shalot. There's a hint here that Avram was going to inherit the lands of Canaan in the future. And therefore, and he quotes the curse of Canaan, v'zacha Avram v'artzo. That's why we inherited his land. Terach understood this. Terach started the journey. That's one possibility. The second possibility within this understanding is actually found here in the Radak, also found in Ibn Ezra, which is the Pesukim are actually out of order. The way the Pesukim are mentioned right now is Terach started to go to Haran, right? And then dies, then Lech Lecha. But as I mentioned to you before, chronologically, that's not true because Terach dies way after Lech Lecha. So says Radak, there's more that's out of order. Lech Lecha happened before they left Ur Kasdim. How do you know? Because Hashem says to Abraham, Lech Lecha, me'artzecha, u'me'maladetcha, go from your birthplace. Well, he wasn't born in Haran. If he already left Ur Kasdim, that seems pretty weird that God would say, leave your birthplace. I was like, I did already. What are you telling me? So this command of Lech Lecha actually happened before they left Ur Kasdim. So says Radak, what happened? God comes to Abraham and says, Lech Lecha. Avram runs to his father and says, guess what? God spoke to me, Lech Lecha. Here we go. Achar she'amar hakel la'avram Lech Lecha. God said to Avram, go. V'amar Avram l'tarach aviv. He's so excited. He tells his dad, v'shem hakel in the name of God. God said we had to leave. So what did Tarachdu is a great guy. Yitrasel, the Davar Beno, he wants to do it. His son said, the Yatzaimo. And Tarach says, great, I'm coming with you. We're doing what God said. And because Tarach wanted to go, and because he's the Baal HaBayis, right? He's the dad. So the Pasuk gave it as if it was him going. But he's the Vayikach. He's the one that starts the journey. And therefore, because he's the dad, he actually gets the credit for starting the journey. And therefore, according to Radak, this pasuk in source 21 by Kaf Terach at Avraham, that's after Lech Lecha. Terach says, let's go, Avraham, let's go. Let's do Lech Lecha. However, he doesn't make it all the way. At some point, he stops in Haran, and Avraham does the rest of the journey of Lech Lecha. Radak explains in this piece of Radak in source 22, 23 here, that he really wanted to go. He really did. But at the end of the day, it was just too hard for him to leave his land. It's a different culture. It's a different land. So he stops in Haran, because Haran is the border between his land and the land of Eretz Canaan. And he figured he's close enough to Avraham. Like he's there. If he wants to visit Avraham, he can do so. But he just, at the end of the day, couldn't take that extra step to leave the land and to go in Eretz Canaan, which is something that Avraham could do. And therefore, what you see from him is, okay, he's the first one who's chosen because he started the journey. He started that journey to go into the land of Canaan. Even though he doesn't make it there, he gets credit for the start of that journey. The second answer we could say here is as follows in terms of his relationship with Hashem. You know, if you take a step back, there are really three ways throughout Tanakh to believe in God. There is exclusively believing in Hashem. That's what Avraham does. There is exclusively believing in Avodah Zarah, which is what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do. And then there is a middle ground. You actually find it referred to in Navi quite often, because sometimes the Jews, sadly, are in this middle ground, where you believe in Hashem, but at the same time, you also believe in Avodah Zarah. And I would like to believe that Terach was in this middle ground. Yes, he was an Oved Avodah Zarah, as the Medrash said, but he also recognized Hashem. And the way you could see that in the Pesukim, well, first in the Midrash, certainly, and the fact that after Avraham jumps into the fire in the Midrash, Terach goes with him, right? And Terach goes on this journey with Avraham. You see it hinted to in this Radak. He says, God spoke to me and says, Lech Lecha. And Terach says, great, let's go. But I also see it in the fact that when you look through the stories of the descendants of Terach, they all understand who Hashem is. They understand the language of Hashem. As opposed to Oved Avodah Zarah, we'll be like, who's Hashem, right? Paro, who's Hashem that I should listen to him, right? We talk about gods, right? We don't have this one Hashem. If you look at source 24, when the Eved of Avraham comes to speak to Lavan and Betuel, the language that he uses is Hashem. I came to Hashem and I made this deal with Hashem. And then I said to Hashem over and over, if you look at this language, and then I bowed down to Hashem and I blessed Hashem that he gave me Rivka. And their answer is, May Hashem yetzah hadavar. You see in the relatives, the people who come from Terach, they know the language of Hashem. They recognize Hashem, maybe not as the exclusive God like Avraham does, but they have an understanding of who Hashem is. And therefore I could start by saying Terach and family are chosen because A, Terach started the journey, and there's a recognition of Hashem of the mission. Second answer that I'd like to present is, even though we don't see it in Terach because we don't have a Terach story this way, but very often when you see a theme throughout so many different people, you got to look for the common denominator. And if I go through the stories of Breishit, there is a theme. Theme of Hachnasas Orchim and Chesed. We have the exact same story that takes place with Avraham, that takes place with Lot, that takes place with Lavan twice, because Lavan greets the Eved of Avraham and then later greets Yaakov when Yaakov is running away, and Rivka. And it's the story of running towards your guest, greeting them, offering them food, washing their feet. Hachnasas Orchim. It's a beautiful mitzvah. And then you have to ask, where did they all get this trait from? Well, the common denominator that unites them all is Terach. There was a family trait. He was a really good person. And he taught them, he instilled in them, be good to people, right? Welcome people into your home. This is a value that at that time, not everybody had. We know that about Sodom, right? That certainly was not a value. And therefore, this is the value that Terach passed to his family. And this is what got him chosen. And I think it makes so much sense, therefore, when I get to the story back again of Eved Avraham, who's finding a wife for Avraham. What's the test? I'm sorry, for Yitzchak. What's the test? Who will do chesed? Who will come and bring me water? Who will bring my camels water? And then I'll know. What will I know? He was given a mission. Go find the daughter of my family. Go find somebody from the house of Nahor. How could he do such a test? What if somebody came and brought him water that wasn't from the house of Nahor? But what's the answer? The answer is he knew. If this girl came out with chesed, clearly she's from this family because this is the family trait. And that's why as soon as she gives drink to the camels, he gives her all the jewelry. And only afterwards does she say, by the way, I'm bat betuel anochi ben milka asher yadav nahor, I'm from the right family. And at that point, you feel like that was going like, duh, I got it. I could tell from the way you acted. Of course, you're from this family. This is the family trait. And again, that's why the people that get rejected are the people that reject this trait. This is such an important trait for us as Jewish people. And therefore, the children of Lot get rejected at the end of the day. Amon and Moav. Why are they rejected? Not for trying to kill us or hurt us. Asher lo kidnu etchem b'lechem b'mayim. When we're coming through this, their land, we ask them for chesed. We ask them, come, give us food, give us drink. This is our family trait. And they say no. They get rejected. We actually have a midrash about Yishmael from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when we come to Yishmaelim and we say, give us food, we need, we're hungry. And they give us minei meluchim v'nodot menupachim. They give us salty fish and canteens of air. Terrible things, right? That's horrible. The opposite of this trait of chesed. So too, as I mentioned a minute ago, Sodom, what was so evil about Sodom? Ra'im v'chata'im, rabah chata'sam. God had to destroy them. And what do we know? What's the story? They didn't allow Lot to do Hachnasas Orchem, says the Balaturim based on the Gemara, Ki ma'achavim ha'ovrim be'arashel lo yechnesu lahem Orchem. You couldn't have guests. They were anti-Hachnasas Orchem. They were anti-Chesed. Well, we can't stand for anti-Chesed, right? That's what we stand for. That's what the family of Terach stands for. Sodom can't be tolerated. So too, the people of Canaan, who are known for Ra'im v'chata'im, the exact same language, anti-Chesed people. And therefore, answer number two, which again, one and two can be taken together, which is the reason why Terach is chosen is because he had a value that is just invaluable. It's a value that we stand for, the Jewish people have to stand for. And again, the reason why he began the line of chosen people, because he stood for the value of chesed and instilled in all of his children this value. I want to add to this value by adding a little bit of a similar theme, but a little bit different, which is found in Rabbi Grummet's book, Genesis from Creation to Covenant. And he talks about this exact idea, but instead of talking about it in terms of chesed, he talks about it about the trait of family values, loving family. And this is why he believes Terach is chosen. And I'll read it in his words because he writes it so beautifully. Source 29. The text could have easily been written succinctly as Terach took Avram, Lot, and Sarai, yet it repeats and accentuates the familiar bonds. As I said to you before, it says, Sarah, who is Sarah? Oh, it's the wife of Abraham and the daughter-in-law of Terach. Who is Lot? It's the son of Haran, who's the nephew, who's the grandson of Terach. Why? Because it's mentioning family. It seems that the Torah wanted to focus our attention on the paramount importance of family for Terach. The very fact that Terach takes his orphan grandson suggests a sense of responsibility for grandchildren, meaning every detail of the story is to teach me the value of family. Why do I care that Haran died and he adopts Lot? Because there's a value of family there. The value of family with the associated responsibilities is Terach's legacy. It is not surprising that the end of Toldot Terach indicates this as well. As we saw earlier, each book of Toldot, we did this, right? Elah Toldot ends just before the next one begins. Toldot Terach ends with the death of Abraham and his burial by his children. It's the first time in the Torah that we have a man being buried by his children. The sense of family responsibility has been extended to children's responsibility for their parents. Enters Terach children. Avram and Nahor are the first individuals in the line of Shet to be described as taking wives. Are the first individuals in line of Shet to be described as taking wives. Moreover, it becomes clear early on that Sarah is barren. In a society in which women's function is to serve as incubator for man's seed, taking and keeping a wife who cannot bear children is nothing short of revolutionary. If such a revolution were to take place, it makes sense it happens within the sphere of Terach, the man for whom family relationship, responsibilities, and commitments are ever present. The concept of a wife being more than a child delivery system is new and is eminently appropriate to find this innovation in the household of the one who effectively invents the family. And therefore, what we see from here is that Terach has these tremendous values that makes him worthy to start this line of Avraham Avinu. You might say, however, wait a minute, if Terach really had such values of family, how do I explain the following two things? The first thing that I need to understand is, how do I understand why he leaves Ur Kasdim? He's clearly leaving relatives behind. He's clearly leaving, you know, his greater family behind. Why does he leave? I gave you this beautiful Abarbanel in source number 30, which I'll summarize because of time. But the Abarbanel says, I'll tell you what happened. Terach looks around and realizes his family is going through a really bad patch of luck. If you compare the story of Terach that I read to you in Perek Yud Aleph to everybody else, there's a number of differences. Number one, Terach has his children when he's 70 years old. Most people are already having children by the age of 30. Number two, he only has three children. It never says for Terach, Vayoled Banim Ubanot. He doesn't have more children. He only has three. Then he has a son who dies really young. And now he's not only scared, why does his son die so young? But he's really scared, maybe Lot's going to die young. Maybe he's going to get the genetics of his father. And now he has another son, Avraham, who can't have children. And he says, oh my goodness, we have such bad luck here in Ur Kasdim. I need to move. If you look where I bolded here, Lefisha Terach Hashav Shamakom Hu Garam. He thought maybe Ur Kasdim is just bad luck for us. Right? Mishane Makom, Mishane Mazal. Kol Arota Elu Fishaya Mazlo Shel Ur Kasdim Ra Minegid Elav. It must be the place. All these terrible things are happening to us. And therefore, that's why he decides to move. He decides to move to save his family, to help his family. That's why he decides to move. So you might say, okay, great. So if he loves his family so much, why'd he leave Nahor behind? I'd like to explain to you that it's possible he did not leave Nahor behind. And what I said to you earlier is actually not true. And this is brought down by many of the Mefarshim. You see, if you look at source 31, when Abraham sends his Eved to go find a wife for, when Yaakov later is sent to go to the family that comes from Nahor, right, Betuel's house, he's not going to Ur Kasdim. He's going to Padan Aram or the Aram Naharaim, which is in Haran. He's going to Haran. So when did Nahor move to Haran? So either later on, at some point, Nahor misses his dad and decides to go join his dad in Haran, or he came with the entire time. And you see hint to it in the Pasuk. If you look at source 32, Pasuk I've now read you a few times, Terach takes Avram, Lot, and Sarai. And then it repeats, Vayitzu itam, they went with him. Says Shadal, that's not a repeat. It's coming to tell me other people who Nahor v'Milka hanisgrem l'mala. It's a hint to tell me Nahor and Milka came too. Says Abarbanel, of course they came with. Of course Gam b'no Nahor came with. Why are they not mentioned? Abarbanel says it fits my theory. He's going away from Ur Kasdim to Lein Haran to avoid the bad luck that's befallen Avram for not having children. Haran has died, so bad luck to Lot. So he's leaving to save Avram and Lot. He's not leaving to save Nahor, so Nahor doesn't get mentioned in the Pasuk. But of course, Nahor is there. And therefore, we can conclude that Terach is a family man with tremendously amazing values of chesed, of family, possibly belief in God. And not only that, the beginning of the mission, starting the journey of Lech Lecha to get almost to Eretz Yisrael, but to the border, all the way to Haran. This idea that Terach is really the beginning, Eila Toldos Terach is the beginning of the story, Terach is chosen, is found as well in the book of Rabbi Grossman, source 33. I believe, he says, that the most straightforward reading is that this is the same pattern we saw in chapter 5. Shem's line concludes with Terach, the fifth book of Toledot in Genesis, the Toledot of Terach. Assuming the 10 generations model is intentional, there are two overlapping models in this section. We did this already. On the one hand, the list opens with Shem and concludes 10 generations with Abraham, the hero and founding father of the Israelite nation, while on the other hand, beginning with Noah, the line ends with Terach. There is no section entitled the Toldot of Avraham within the Toldot formula that shapes the book of Genesis. Avraham's entire narrative cycle is named for his father Terach. Under this heading, the reader learns about Nahor's family, how Haran through his son Lot is the founder of two nations, and of course how Avraham is granted his own descendants. And he asks our question, why is it so important for the Torah that the story of Avraham is presented as part of his father's story? This is even more surprising, given that God's first revelation to Avram lays emphasis on the need to detach himself from his family. Avram's descendants are laden with the burden of creating the world. Ideally, all of humanity would share this burden, but there is a need for a single family, especially suited for this purpose. There are 10 generations from Noach to Terach, and from here, humanity begins a new journey. Avram enters a new covenant with God, but he will perpetuate his line through his connection to Terach's extended family. Exactly what we said, marrying only into Terach's line. In one way or the other, all three of Terach's sons become part of the long winding journey of establishing the chosen people, the people whose ultimate purpose is to call on the name of God and lead the world by doing what is right and just. And therefore, it's very fitting to me that we start the Haggadah by the father that leads to three children, and of course, the one child that becomes the chosen child. And then we continue on the Seder night to discuss the next, I would say, father of three children. And that, of course, takes us to Amram and his children, Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Of course, just like we have these beautiful midrashim about Terach, so too about Amram. I gave you one from the Gemara in Sota, Amram Gadol Hador Haya. He was a great man in his generation. And we certainly have a focus of family values, chesed values, of course, recognizing God without question when it comes to these three characters, right? But for sure, the family and the chesed values as well. In source 35, we start the discussion of Miriam. She's standing and watching her baby brother in the Nile River, making sure he's okay. We have Aaron who goes out to greet Moshe, to greet Moshe, to bring him back to become the leader of the chosen people. He needs the support of his brother. Here, how the two of them go together. They meet, they hug, they kiss, and they together go to Paro. They together go to the Jewish people. And of course, we have continuously Moshe and Aaron working together with Paro, Miriam and Moshe singing Shira al Hayam together, and the beautiful psukim of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam combined. I love the story when we're fighting against our first enemy in the desert. Amalek attacks us, and Moshe standing on the mountain with Aaron on one side, Hor, who's assumed to be Miriam's son, on the other. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam standing on the mountain, and the emphasis on the psukim of Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. And of course, the pasuk from Micha, God says, when I took you out of Mitzrayim, who did I send to save you? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. We have the father, Amram, who has the three chosen children, our father of three, Adam, Noah, and then Terach, taking us to Amram, to the conclusion of course, the story that we give over at the Seder. And therefore, when we go back to the Seder, and we're discussing Terach, and we're trying to understand why he's there, we certainly conclude with two possibilities. Okay, Avram's the hero, Terach is evil. We mention him quickly just to emphasize how amazing Avram is, that was his influences, and he became who he became. But I think there's another way, and I think there's a way to understand that Avram's family is also chosen. They're chosen for values of chesed, of family, of the beginning of the process, of starting the process along with Avraham, and then Avram continuing the journey by himself. And I think this should have special meaning to us at the Seder, because at the Seder, we invite everyone in. You know, at our Seder, we talk about not just the Chacham, we talk about the Rasha, we talk about the Tam and the She'eni Yodei Lish'ol. We invite everyone, Kol Dechvin Yetzev Yechol. We say, everybody come in. At the Seder, we talk about everyone. You know, not just Terach's mentioned at the Seder, and Nahor, we have Esav, we have Lavan, we have Ishmael. Everybody's mentioned at the Seder. Each person has a value. Each person has what to teach at our Seder. Each person that is mentioned has what we're supposed to learn from. So even though, yes, we will spend majority of our Seder night focusing on Moshe and Avraham and all the amazing lessons to learn from these great tzaddikim, let us also learn from the less significant characters that are mentioned at our Seder, because I believe Terach also has what to teach us. I thank you all for spending tonight learning Torah on behalf of the learning of Stern College and that of GPATS. And I am happy to wait around for questions, but I thank you all for coming to learn. Sorry if I went a few minutes over. It is so nice to see everyone, and have a really good evening and a happy Pesach to everyone. It should be a good year, and it should be a much happier Pesach than last year. And I hope everybody enjoys their Sederim, and it's wonderful to see all of you. Have a wonderful night.